Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The Great Red Dragon and His Persecution. That's the title of our life study program today, and you'll want to stay with us for the next half hour to see Satan exposed, his activities unveiled, and also to receive inspiration for our own experience of Christ as life, as the unique way to overcome him. Ron Kangas is with us again for this program. Welcome once again, Ron.
I'm glad to be here and glad to see the content of what is coming up, really rich and of great help.
Ron, the title of Witness Lee's message that we're going to get into today is The Great Red Dragon and His Persecution. Of course, this title or name for the devil comes from Revelation chapter 12, where verse 3 tells us, "And another sign was seen in heaven, and behold, there was a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems, and his tail drags away the third part of the stars of heaven, and he casts them to the earth." Why don't we jump right into Witness Lee speaking today, Ron, from 1976 and his life study of Revelation. Here's Witness Lee.
You know, a serpent, a snake, is subtle. And Genesis 3 does say this: among all the beasts on the field, no one is so subtle as the serpent. But when the Bible says the dragon, it indicates the cruel one. He is now bigger than the serpent. He has become so great because through all the centuries, he got enlarged by what he has eaten. So he has become great, bigger than the original little serpent. This dragon is not only great because of his eating, but also he's red. Red signifies the shedding of blood by his murdering. And his murdering started in Genesis chapter 4 with Abel. He has murdered, killed a lot of overcomers. Also, his tail drags away the third part of the stars of heaven. The stars here refer to the fallen angels who followed Satan. Satan and all his fallen angels will be cast to this earth. My, what a terrible earth that will be.
Ron, this picture of a great red dragon before a pregnant woman is very graphic and illustrative of God's enemy, Satan, and his persecution of God's people throughout the ages. Genesis chapter 3 shows us Satan typified by a little serpent. Develop for us the sobering way that this one has now become a dragon that is great and also red over 6,000 years of history.
As we seek to develop this, it is helpful to be reminded that in Genesis, the seeds of the divine revelation are sown. These seeds grow and develop throughout the Bible and reach their harvest or consummate development in the book of Revelation. And so it is with the seed in Genesis chapter 3 concerning the woman and the serpent, and eventually the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, etc. So we have in Genesis 3 a subtle, crafty serpent. In Revelation 12, this serpent is now the ancient serpent, and he has become a great red dragon. This is an enormous and grotesque development. Significantly, in Genesis 3, when God cursed the serpent, God told it that its food would be the dust And the dust there typifies the created human beings, created from dust, and by that time fallen and under the curse, would become food for the enemy. So Satan has a voracious appetite, and he, the serpent, has been devouring. In 1 Peter 5, you have a lion used to symbolize Satan seeking someone to devour. And countless human beings, in their refusal to turn to Christ or in their refusal to deny themselves and live in the Spirit, have become the serpent's food. And they've enabled him to grow. The dragon, as was pointed out in the segment we just heard, signifies Satan in his cruelty, a murderer. And Satan, the devil, as a murderer, usurped Cain and utilized him to murder his brother Abel. And we know from the Lord's word in John 8:44 that the devil is a murderer, has been such from the beginning. So the combination of eating and murdering has enabled the little subtle serpent to develop and expand in such a monstrous way to become the great red dragon, the source of all persecution of the woman, that is, of the totality of God's people.
Ron, this appetite is manifested even more as we continue on in Revelation 12. I read the first part of verse 4. Let's read the second half, because here it says, "And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bring forth, so that when she brings forth, he might devour her child." And there is that word devour that you used a moment ago. "This great red dragon has now become very angry with God's people at the beginning of the great tribulation." Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Satan will be standing before the woman, opposing the people of God. Of course, he has done this all the time, but in those 3.5 years, when he will be cast down from heaven to earth, he will stand against the woman, the part of God's people who will be left on this earth. Don't take in the nonsensical teaching, saying all the churches will be raptured before the great tribulation. I couldn't find a verse. I'm not saying this lightly. I have been studying this one thing over 50 years. Through all the studies, I found out all the deep, sound Christian teachers, they all agree that it is absolutely wrong to say that all the churches will be raptured before the great tribulation, and none of the believers will get through the tribulation. This is a falsehood. You got the wrong teaching. If you think this way, I'm afraid you will be left in the great tribulation. You read the scripture here. Number one, here in Revelation 12, it says the man-child will be called to God before the 3.5 years. After the man-child's rapture, there will still be 1,260 days. Number one. Number two, after the rapture of the man-child, still the rest of the seed of the woman, not including the Jews only, but also the Christians who have the testimony of Jesus. On the one hand, the man-child will be raptured before the 3.5 years. On the other hand, still some seed of the woman. Not only the law-keeping Jews, but also the Jesus testimony keepers of the New Testament. These are the New Testament believers. They all will be left through the greater part of the great tribulation. We all have to be clear about this. So, after Satan will be cast down from heaven to earth, he will do his best to do what? to persecute God's people who will be still remaining on this earth after the rapture of the mantle.
Ron, this great red dragon is cast down to earth here in Revelation chapter 12 at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. By now, the man-child has been raptured to heaven already. But the woman, the majority of God's people, is still here on the earth. Verse 13 says, "When the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who brought forth the man-child." It's no wonder, listening to these messages that we have had recently on the Great Tribulation, that many Christians today want to believe that the rapture is at the beginning of the Great Tribulation and will include all of the believers. But we have to be faithful and say, as we have on previous programs, this simply is not what the Bible presents, is it?
No, this is not what the Bible presents concerning the rapture in a general sense. The Bible does clearly reveal and indicate that certain of the believers, dead and living, will be raptured just before the onset of the Great Tribulation. And they will be taken to the throne of God in the heavens. From 1 Thessalonians 4, we know that those who are alive and remain, that is the majority who make up the woman in Revelation 12, will be taken not to the throne of God in the heavens, but to the cloud in the air. If we understand who the woman is and who the man-child is, this alone will be enough to disabuse us of the notion that all the believers will be raptured before the tribulation. The woman is not Israel. The woman is not the Virgin Mary. The woman is the totality of God's people, primarily those from the age of grace. The man-child here is not the Lord Jesus singly, but the overcomers as the corporate man-child, a corporate fighting dispensational unit constituted with Christ, who is, of course, the man-child personally. The woman isn't raptured before the tribulation. That which comes out from her, the man-child, is raptured before the great tribulation. This man-child engages in war in the heavens. Satan is cast down. He is enraged, knowing his time is short. He embodies himself in the Antichrist. He persecutes God's people and the Jews who have the commandments of God. And the Great Tribulation begins. And we know from Revelation 12, there is persecution aimed at two categories of people representing the Lord on the earth. Those who have the commandments of God. This refers to the Jews. Those who have the testimony of Jesus. This refers to the Christians, the believers in Christ, who, in practicality, make up the woman who is enduring the wrath of the dragon. As we have indicated before and even explicitly stated before, Chris, this is just the way it is. We should not allow our fear of persecution or any kind of dream to affect our reading of the Scriptures. If we study in detail, with a sober mind, abandoning any self-interest, I believe we will be enlightened to realize the rapture is not as simple as many suppose. Only a minority of the believers will be raptured before the tribulation. The majority will suffer to some extent during the tribulation and will be raptured at the end of it. This is what the Bible reveals, and we have to reckon with it. It's not only a matter of doctrine or biblical interpretation. It's a matter directly related to our seriousness in pursuing the Lord and preparing ourselves to meet Him.
Ron, each time we touch this subject, it needs a certain amount of development. For any of our listeners who have missed it in the past, I thought your speaking here was very concise and very thorough. Let's go back to Witness Lee. In our final portion today, we will cover the aspects of the dragon's names. He is called the devil and Satan, as recorded in verses 9 and 10. Let's rejoin Witness Lee.
The ancient serpent, the subtle and deceiving one, now by here in Revelation 12, he is not the young serpent. is the old serpent, the ancient serpent. He has been over at least quite close 6,000 years. He is the devil, the accuser, accusing us before God, and also slandering God to us. When Satan goes to God, he accuses us before God. When the devil comes to us, he slanders God to us. In what way he slanders? Don't think in a very, very apparent way. Many, many times he slanders God to us in a very subtle way. Sometimes a word within you, asking you how God treats me in this way. Ah, this is a slander. You think this is of you. No. This is the speaking of the devil. Whenever you have a little question mark about the word of God in the Bible, I tell you, that is a slander. If you would take this little slander, I tell you, he will give you a bigger one. Then you would say, my, proper God is not faithful. Oh, what a slander. You see, he goes to God to accuse us, and he comes to us to slander God. This is the meaning of the title of the devil. The enemy means the foe outside of God's realm. The adversary means the foe within God's realm. The outside enemies are the enemies. The inside enemies are the adversaries. Satan, you know, he was one within God's realm. He was not an outsider. He was insider. So he was and still is the adversary. Let me tell you, where is this adversary? Always not outside of you, always inside you. Where is Satan? Inside of us. He is not only the outside enemy, but the inside adversary. We have a proverb, it is easy to defend against the enemy, but not so easy to defend against adversary. Because he's right in you. He's right in your home. If you close the door, you close him in. You can never close him out. You close the enemy out, but you close the adversary in. Do you realize this way? I tell you, within you, there is the adversary. The foe, not outside of you, but inside of you. And sometimes, even many times, this adversary pretends to be you. You don't realize that is he. You think that's you. Do you realize that? You shouldn't blame yourself that much. You have to say, Satan, now you bear the blame. Don't believe that you are that bad. You are much better. The bad one is not you, but he.
Well, Brother Ron, I think this final word about the meaning of the ancient serpent's name exposes him to the uttermost. As we just heard, the devil is the accuser and the slanderer without, but as Satan, he's our adversary within. He was speaking here very experientially. Maybe you could say a word from your own experience to confirm this.
Our experience must always be based on the Word of God. On the one hand, our experience will verify, in a sense, God's Word. On the other hand, God's Word will interpret our experience. I feel we need this framework. So we are talking about the nature of Satan and the devil, the character of the adversary and the enemy, the significance of the names Satan and devil. So we have a solid basis in the Scriptures for an application to our experience. We know the more we pursue the Lord and stand on the earth for God's interest, the more the enemy will attack from without and will accuse us before God. That's Revelation 12. He accused before God. On the other hand, in a very subtle way, because of our fallen nature, Satan as the adversary is within us, slandering us, accusing us, and especially misrepresenting God to us, telling us God is not happy with us, God is angry with us, or causing us to think ill of God, making us the kind of mouthpiece for him, causing us to believe God is not fair, God is not faithful, whatever. All this is the thought of Satan masquerading as our own. So we need tremendous light to shine upon us and to shine in us, to expose the adversary's activity in our own being, so we can discern between ourselves and him and stand on God's word to reject him and oppose him. May the Lord really enlighten the seekers of Christ to expose the enemy who is harassing, tormenting, accusing, slandering, and persecuting them, and train the believers how to withstand the activities of both the enemy and the adversary, and to understand the nature of the dragon's persecution. All of this in relation to the urgent matter of the manifestation of the man-child. We are at war. We need to understand the stratagems of the enemy. We need to be trained through the growth in life, the Word of God, and the building, how to fight him and overcome him and bring God's kingdom to earth for the glory of God and the shame of the one who is the outward enemy and the inward adversary, the one who was destined to be crushed under the feet of the church by the God of peace.
This touched something today, this last portion, that is probably a much greater need among God's people, to identify who is the enemy without and the adversary within. This one holds God's people in tremendous bondage, and this kind of message today, this kind of word, can really be a freeing and liberating light, can it?
It can be, and it is. And if we continue to take heed to the word, and honestly, let me say, to follow the ministry through this program, we will learn from the word how to overcome the adversary, the accuser, the slanderer.
Well, Ron, we'll invite you back again in a couple of days.
By the Lord's mercy and grace, we'll see you, as you said, in a few days.
Amen. Please join us. Those of you listening, we'll be back with another program from our life study of Revelation. For Ron Kangas today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.